Then I'm going to throw her out of the Zeppelin.
You want to hear a funny story? I went to a Dave Matthews Band concert when I was,
but like, why?
18.
Well, that's what you did in
the first question is why?
Mid-90s.
Oh, well, why not?
It was the mid-90s. That's what you did.
And OAR was opening, so it was like the most pot-ridden like concert you could go to. And someone came up to me and my girlfriend and asked if I had papers. Because apparently I looked like somebody who knew what that meant. And I said, no, but I have a pencil. And my girlfriend laughed at me. She still thinks it's hilarious. And it was very recently that I figured out
this. That you can use to roll
yeah,
a predetermined amount.
Yeah. Anyway, he didn't want a piece of paper. He wanted papers. And apparently that's
different. And you took out your passport and was like, all right, yeah. Take it down a notch.
Security's tight around here.
It's tight at the Dave Matthews concert.
Is that the story that's going to open the episode?
Oh, I hope so. Because it actually was around that time that my Rosewell story does take place.
Oh, yeah. Nice segue.
Yeah, just about the same.
You even said time.
I did. Oh, by the way, Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Today is March 25th, which is the original date of the new year started in Mesopotamia, but it made more sense because spring is the season of new beginnings. It's a season where you plant. It's a season where things are coming back to life, so that's when the year used to start. And now it starts in the dumbest season, which is winter, where nothing good is happening.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we're surrounded by reminders of all of that. Because if you count on your little hand toes, October is the 8th month, because March is the first month.
Mm-hmm. And January and February didn't used to exist. December used to be the last month. Also, it makes more sense to start in March because that is the start of the astrological cycle, starting with Aries.
Mm-hmm. Best thing you've said so far, starting with Aries.
Happy birthday, Gretchen.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Gretchen. I guess we can go ahead and introduce ourselves again since we've gone down that path. And happy birthday to local favorite, Gretchen. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And back with us again, historian about town, Kate.
I've returned from my about towning.
Did you see anything good out there?
No.
Took me 2 weeks. Make that.
It's a long circuit, isn't it?
Well, you have to do these things.
I guess.
Depends on how you're traveling about town.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. If you're walking, I guess it would take a while.
Yeah. That's
the time changes in the new year.
Yeah. I circumnavigated Virginia.
She even crossed town lines, which is crazy.
Historian about all the towns.
I try not to leave Newtown. So I.
Yeah. Well, it's
a lot of respect for you.
Oh, thank you.
And co-host Jamie here with us again.
Hi, it's me.
And I'm still Koi, and I'm still here also.
I don't even know what time it is.
After this week, I'm not sure that any of us are here.
It's 3:02 or 2:02 as we're recording this thing. And this is the Window Light Podcast for the Unexplained. This would be episode 8, and we are sticking to our time theme for this season, very loosely this time, in that we're going to talk a little bit about synchronicities, what they are, what it means, and how several of them occurred this past week that led to this episode happening. and we're also going to talk about...
You need a cough button, like on Frasier.
Oh, I do need that, yes. So I'll trim that out.
Ross.
I will trim that out. What was the last thing I said before I had to cough?
Synchronicities.
Yes. Oh, and we'll also be talking about time loops as it applies to haunting phenomenon. Phenomena?
Phenomena.
Phenomena.
But anyway, I was out running today, and I came back and I told Jamie that the veil felt very thin out there today. I don't know if it's due to the...
New Year,
or the solar flares that hit the Earth yesterday.
Completely forgot about that. Is that why everybody was... I know there was meant to disrupt, like, radio signals and stuff like that, but was there meant to be any kind of, like, metaphysical, physiological...
As I understand it, I'm citing zero sources, but as I understand it, those types of radiations that can disrupt cell phone signals and can disrupt radio waves and stuff like that can also affect your bioenergies and your own magnetics, however you say it. So yeah, it is possible that people could be reacting differently. And from what I've also heard, what's his name? David Wilcox? Is that his name? He is of the opinion, and I'll change this if I'm wrong, but he's of the opinion that it is going to be changes in the sun that starts impacting us and this new global consciousness awakening that we're going through, that our brains are getting freed up, or that the radiation or whatever that's coming down and hitting the earth is disrupting the bad signals that are affecting us, so it making it easier for us to wake up and have more awareness. So as the sun goes through its cycles, it's having a direct impact on people. But again, while I was out there running today, there's a knot hole in a tree, or one of those holes in a tree that you see birds and squirrels go into. And I was looking at it, I thought I saw an owl in there. Ooh. I was like, oh, cool. I like to see that owl again. And I kind of, because I don't want to stop my run because, time's important.
Yeah.
But not really. and I tried to turn around and look back at it, and it wasn't an owl. It looked like a little gray alien head. And I looked a little closer again. I was like, no, that's literally just the
way
shape of the tree until it moved.
Oh.
And I continued running on.
And is that when you got faster on?
Yeah. Maybe I'll get on the sidewalk now. Yeah,
you can probably look at the color indicator on my map and be able to see when it went into the red.
That's when Cora was running a 7-minute mile.
Yeah, it was weird. It was very weird. And everything started feeling very watchy until I got out onto to the road. And I felt much better when I got out of the woods.
Woods are like that, though.
Woods are like that. The only thing that weird yesterday, because yesterday was my birthday proper, so like it was just a different day anyway. I'm not usually like showered with foods and gifts.
Well,
at work.
Yeah, and that sounds like a problem that you need to fix.
It was lovely. But the only thing that weird happened, I didn't know they were doing this, but they're doing work on the parkway, and they're like reinforcing the embankment or something, and they cut down a bunch of big, beautiful, large trees down by that mill pond or whatever location, and it felt so weird going through the parkway with like that lack of trees right there. Mm. It just felt weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess you could work this into a conversation about time, but you should look up witness trees, like trees that are very, 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 very old and,
stood. The things they've seen.
Yeah, the things that they've seen. And there used to be some on Parkway until they got hit by
lightning. I remember that one. There was even a plaque for it.
Yeah, I think the plaque is still there and the trees aren't.
The trees aren't.
Just imagine, time moves, however you want to define it, but some things are pillars fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I just realized that we have been saying the term synchronicity a lot on the show, but we've not really explained what it means, and I don't think everybody understands what it is.
Like local favorite Gretchen.
Right. And the reason we all four got together today is because several synchronicities happened throughout the week that involved all of us, so it seemed like a proper time to, get it on record. But a synchronicity is defined as the simultaneous occurrence of events which appear significantly related but have no discernible casual connection. So it's more than just like a coincidence. It seems like it means something even if you can't figure out what it means. Okay. So like there's something deeper to it. And so many things have happened this week that kind of connected us to one subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it started with Gretchen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was at work and talking to some coworkers about, they had been listening to all the podcasts and they had been catching up, from last season and this one, and we were just talking about things, and I think I might have been asking them about, like, I don't know if anything's happened to them, but I remember bringing up like Carter's Grove and being sad that you can no longer visit there because I felt like you felt so many things when you were there because of everything it has witnessed, mm-hmm. as a place. And I asked, and I just all of a sudden just said, hey, has anybody ever been to Rosewell, like the ruins over in Gloucester County? And everybody's like, no, I haven't been there. And I was like, I've always wanted to go. And then one of my coworkers said, well, I've never been, but a friend of mine went there just like a history kind of trip, not because he's into anything, you know, supernatural or anything. And he was videotaping my coworkers telling me this about his friend. So this is like a secondhand, thirdhand story. But he said he was filming and everything was fine. It was a good trip. And then when he got home and looked at the footage, there was no footage. Like, nothing was recorded. It was just, like, static. But the audio was up, and they heard, like, a whispering, and it sounded like a little girl saying, like, he's coming or something really creepy. And the guy was, like, freaked out, was like, never going there again. Nope. You know, so we got on that topic of Roswell, and I think I had, I don't know, I think maybe I asked you about it, asked if y'all had ever been there. I can't remember the next sequence of events, but...
And we hadn't heard of it before, and at first we read it as Roswell, and we were like, what? Still pretty close, still pretty fun. And then we started looking into it, we started discussing it, and how, you know, we should look more into all the things that have happened there. And at the same time we were discussing it is when...
Oh, we were texting back and forth, because then I looked it up, like, oh, can we visit there? Mm-hmm. Like, when is it, when can you visit it? And I got super creeped out because it burned. Like, I guess it's just the shell of the ruins. They might be rebuilding it, but I think it's just the brick shell of the ruins. And it burned March 24th, 1916. And this is like a couple of days before March 24th, which is also my birthday. So then I was like, we got to go. And we were gonna try to go on the your birthday. Because it was 107 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then while we were discussing all this is when Kate comes into the mix. So tell us about...
Via text also, I think.
Yeah, via text, so...
Who had no idea that we were discussing it.
No. So I'm not involved in your text string. Oh,
so you didn't even know that was...
Not at all.
Oh, that's even speakier than I thought.
Yes. So I don't even know how to preface this so that there's like a ta-da. So I had spent the day out of the office on Tuesday... Because on Tuesday afternoon, I went to a meeting in Gloucester where the topic of conversation was Roswell. And I hadn't thought about the ruin in a while. And, but I, you know, have a little bit of background knowledge with it and some history with it. And I was thinking about it. And Tuesday night, I was just kind of reflecting on the day. And then I sent, Jamie and Coy and me and my hubs have a running text group. And I just said, hey, like, there's something that I just kind of remembered today while I was having this conversation about Roswell. And it's a story about my mom. So when I was, a freshman in college or something like that, I had gone and worked in Gloucester and done some history type things about town, as I do. And my mom, who doesn't live in Virginia, came out to visit me, and I wanted to show her the sights and the things. Do you know this story? Not at all? Oh, okay. And so we get in the car and we drive out to the ruin. Mm-hmm. My mom walks up to it, and you have to drive, you know, out this path, or at least this is what you did, you know, 20 years ago. And we go up to it, and my mom was like, oh, I've been here. I think, you know, I've been here. I think I was here when I was little. Mm-hmm. And
your mom said that.
My mom said that. Mm-hmm. And my mom grew up in the Midwest. To my knowledge, had never even started coming out to the East Coast until I moved out here. But, so you mentioned before that Roswell burned, and it's kind of a shell of itself.
Right.
It's very famous for you being able to walk up to it, and you can see the vaulted cellar. Huh. And my mom, before we even got up to the ruin, was able to describe to me the vaulted cellar.
And she's saying it like she still thinks maybe she's visited it before?
Yes.
Okay.
Because she had said, I think I was here when I was little, this has that cellar, right? With the arches, and it's got that cellar. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah, that's true. But could not think of how she would have known that.
Right.
And we, you know, walked up to it, and, you know, she's like, oh, yeah. And then we realized you know, she had never been there before.
I was going to say, kind of, if you didn't grow up here,
yeah,
and you don't remember coming here on vacation, kind of a random spot to have gone to anyway.
Absolutely.
It's not like you come to Virginia for the Rosewell.
You know? Right. I mean...
Well, after this episode...
They're all gonna.
Absolutely. So I had just remembered this story about my mom telling me this. And then kind of the punchline of this is that there is an old photo taken right about the turn of the century of a young girl standing like at the top of the cellar stairs looking down. So like in my memory, I wasn't able to go back and find it, but it's like the photographer is in the cellar looking up and there's like a girl, like a little girl. Anyway, and so I had just had this memory. And I thought, I'm just going to type all this out. This seems like something that Jamie and Coy would be really into. I can't believe this whole time we've never had this conversation before, but it would have never occurred to me.
Right.
You know, I just hadn't had that memory sparked. And then the next text message I get a couple moments later is, and I'm looking at it right now, is Coy, we are currently having a synchronicity.
It's happening as we speak,
it's happening
as we text.
Right now. And then Jamie writes back, we're literally talking about Rosewell. Why were you even there? And then she sent me a screenshot of the text exchange that you guys were having.
Right. And it was like a random, like me just bringing it up at work was random.
Yeah.
Me like deciding to tell them about it was random.
And then you saying the other weird thing was that it was the little girl's voice.
Yes.
In that recording. And so, yeah, it was just one of those moments where like, you know, I think the rest of my text string, I'm looking at it now, is just basically like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, you know. Because it has been, I feel like it has been happening a lot with, you know, us a lot lately. Which makes me feel kind of good, because I think sometimes, like when the Newkirks are talking about synchronicities, they're talking a lot about, it shows you that you're on the right path, or that you're, and so I find that really comforting. I mean, it's super creepy and strange, but...
Yeah. But not in a, we got to get out of here way.
No,
just
no,
like
no.
In a, we got to find out more about this kind of way.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so.
I think being on the right path, it's a good way to put it, to add even more credibility to this as an event and as a thing. Carl Jung, you know Carl Jung.
Oh, of course.
Are you Jungian? Jungian?
I wouldn't normally define myself that way.
He did a lot of work on this in the 50s, and he stated... I found were coincidences which were connected so meaningfully that their chance occurrence would represent a degree of improbability that would have to be expressed by an astronomical figure. That these are not random things and they're not coincidences. The underlying idea that he had is that there is unity in diversity. So, how the more random chance things occur... the more they should be occurring.
But
it's all part of it.
And it's interesting that all of this happened just days before the anniversary of when it burned.
Yes.
And that none of us knew that, or I didn't even know what the site was until all this started happening.
And it was 107 years ago, is that what you said?
It was 107 years ago.
And what's 107 in numerology?
8.
And what episode is this?
Oh, come on!
Oh, no!
That's just...
just came to me.
Well, it's going to open back up on the 31st, which will
be
7 days after the 107th anniversary of its burning.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to go.
I'll call out, don't worry.
Good.
We'll...
And we can do a...
everybody else is doing it.
We can do a follow-up episode
and they
on
do,
our experience there.
They do have, just as an aside, they have done ghost tours at the site, too. I don't know. And they're given by, like, people that work for, I think, the county and the foundation. I don't know how cool they are with you just, like, kind of going out. I mean, you can go out and see the site, but, you know.
I think most of their ghost stories are unrelated to... little girl phenomenon, though. Isn't it? Other stuff happening? I think I saw a lady wearing red or something somewhere.
Ooh.
Well, according to the book Virginia's Haunted Historic Triangle by
Link
Pamela K. Kinney, We'll put that in the show notes. The second edition here. So it says, back in the late 70s, three teenagers drove in a truck to Rosewell one night to check the place out because of the ghost stories they had heard. They parked in front of the mansion, maybe about 100 feet or so from the front steps. The night was pitch black with no moon. As their eyes adjusted to the darkness, they noticed two red lights in front of them. They thought that maybe they were the taillights of a car parked in front of them, but that was impossible since they were alone there. Finally, two of the three decided that it had to be a car that obviously they weren't alone. Someone else had parked there too, and they just missed it driving up. Then the lights began to levitate. Astonished, they asked each other if what they were seeing is actually happening. They asked the third person, but he never answered them. They began to wonder if someone was fooling with them. After all, how could a light climb as high as a tree limb? They thought maybe it could be a boat on the York River, since the river was in that general direction behind the Roserell Mansion, but the river was too far away from the mansion. Besides, the vegetation and forest would obscure the view. More lights appeared, and they darted around the tree limbs in front of the mansion stairs. They enjoyed it. When all of a
They enjoyed it.
When all of a sudden their friend, who hadn't said a word, started the pickup truck and threw it into reverse. He drove through a cornfield with the other two bouncing around in the bed of the truck. To this day, the third friend claims he saw nothing, but the others know better. He saw something more than lights in the night. What it was, he won't say.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm suspicious of this third so-called friend.
There's a cornfield and pickup trucks involved now.
He was even there. Huh? Maybe nope. He wasn't even there. Maybe it was just two friends.
But he didn't talk the whole time.
Didn't talk the whole time.
There's right. No evidence. So
he probably did see something and got spooked out and, like, lit out of there. And those two idiots having a good time.
Mm-hmm. And they saw it right in front of the
70s.
Right in front of the stairs and the front steps of the house. That's one where the most people see the ghost lady, and it's a nightly thing. So that's when I saw him at the time loop. Mm-hmm. Like every night she comes down the steps or goes back up them or something. Talk to me about that.
A loop thing?
Yeah, I think that's pretty common in a lot of, especially, I don't know how common it is across the country, but in a lot of the Virginia ghost sites or sites mm-hmm. that people see ghosts, the ghosts do perform the same ritual every night.
Yeah.
So like the Ambler House lady with the widow's walk and mm-hmm. going out towards the river.
There's a Carter's Grove one where a lady's going up and down the staircase, right?
Yeah, and I think it might be like kind of a newer myth, like in and of itself, but the Wythe House, the lady walking up and down the stairs. I wonder if there's a staircase.
Yeah, well,
staircases
are busy places, right? Yeah. Like, or going from one place to another, like going from one realm to another.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, that liminality of, you know, up and down and like that high energy.
Mm-hmm. Areas of transition.
That sounds better.
I've heard someone state that.
This is why he's the host.
The doorways, hallways, stairs, bridges, train tracks, things like that. Completely lost my train of thought.
Well, yeah, but you can't see where somebody's coming. Or, you know, most of the time you can't see like where someone is descended from. You know, they're going up somewhere and you don't see where it ends, right. Or they're coming down and you don't know where they've been.
Yeah, there's kind of a fade in and fade out. You don't really know where it starts and where it ends.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about the Rosewell mansion is when people will see an anomaly coming up and down the stairs, there's no stairs there anymore. So they're so the physical realm doesn't really impact what's going on the other side.
So Kate, at some point you had a theory about ghosts that we talked about being shells of experiences.
Yeah. Well, that was a long theory. Things like just kind of happening all around us. Is that what I was talking about? I remember this was a brass tap conversation, wasn't it?
I think so.
Who knows what I was talking about? I don't know. What was my theory? Shell theory.
That when that it's not really a spirit, that it's the shell of the lived experiences of the body.
Yes, and so exactly.
It's repeating on a loop.
Yes, because I think we were talking about, like, where does all that energy go?
I think it was my theory.
I think that
no, it wasn't even my theory.
Oh, Kate and Coy are like the same person to me.
It was the Beast himself's theory.
The Beast,
Aleister Crowley.
Oh,
that's one of his theorems that ghosts aren't.
Not like the Beast from the X-Men.
It's not like yours.
Different.
Not Kelsey Grammer. No.
Different okay. podcast.
No, that is not.
That's our second Kelsey Grammer reference of the podcast. That's weird.
Let's go to Seattle or
Someone
Boston.
Someone figure out why.
Do you think he's been to Roswell?
I'm gonna look, if he's in town right now doing some kind of an event.
Oh, that's going to be crazy.
Shout out.
But, sup, Kelsey.
But his,
I love your work.
But his theory, not this podcast not Kelsey's,
needs a sponsor.
The Beast.
Mr. Crowley, however you say it. Was it what the ghost or not the soul? Yeah. You know, it's not you, it's just sort of your leftover.
Well, that your would make leftovers.
Your leftover, yeah, memories.
That would make
things.
Me feel way better, especially like when people say they see like ghosts of children. That makes me sick because it's like, yeah. A child's soul would not be hanging around this place, you know?
Well, I don't remember if this was a Jack on the Rocks conversation or not, but.
Most of them are.
To be fair. But what if, and maybe this is related to the loop theory or the shell theory, or maybe it's something completely different, but I've always wondered if time is almost kind of like imagine a layer cake, like one of those Smith Island cakes, like 13 layers. Mm. So everything's just kind of on top of each other at the same time. But then imagine that you've just squished the layer cake. And all those layers are still distinct and separate from each other, but they're all just kind of smushed. And I kind of wonder that sometimes too, especially looking around landscapes. I think about this a lot when I walk out of my office at the end of the day and I look at you can see the sunset going down over the river, and I have this probably really problematic romantic thought in my head of like, you know, we're watching the sunset at the same spot that 400 years ago other people watched the sunset. You know, I know that's really wrong, but I wonder if everything is here, and maybe this idea of like linear time, I know that that exists, but I know that that exists for us because we're in this specific moment of linear time. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if it's all just, we're just all on different levels of that.
Of the time.
I don't know that that makes any sense. I have a really hard time vocalizing it. I can see it in my head, but.
Yeah.
Just imagining that we're the only ones just on this, like, plane, I guess, is that boggles my mind more than alternatives, I guess.
Well, from what I've read and as I understand it, and this is some more Crowley stuff too, is that you're experiencing things you experience now through your body and your senses, and you see time as a linear thing because you as a entity are not consciously aware enough and you're not prepared to be able to take in all time at once or to take in the fact that you can be anywhere within a thought. But as you grow as a human and you learn more things and you develop, whenever this body passes and your rest of your essence, for lack of a better word, it may be reincarnated in another physical body again, so you try harder, or you transition out and now you're on the spiritual plane where you can now take in all these different stimuli and it makes sense to you. And I'm sure there's a ton of religious writings on that as well. I mean, isn't that the whole of
Buddhism.
Pretty
much, yeah.
So, after all of this happened, I did go back and I asked my mom. I said, do you remember going out there? Do you remember telling me about this? I said, do you remember going out there? And she said, oh, I dream about that place all the time.
Mm. What?
Yeah, and that was really weird. And I said, do you... And this was, like, Wednesday that I asked her that. And I said, do you remember telling me that you thought you had been there when you were little? And she said, why would I have been there when I was little?
And you were like, I don't know, you tell me.
Yeah, I said, you told me that. And she said, oh, I don't remember that at all. But she... I think she's in a different place now than she was when she had like originally had that thought. And so I think maybe even if she, I don't think that's something that her conscious mind is willing to accept at this point in her life, which is, you know, which is sure. fair.
Do you think it could be even, you know, even if it's not like a reincarnation kind of thing or a second life kind of thing, could it, and this would be just as cool to me, but could it be that she saw that same photograph at some point?
And it's just
just etched in her memory, you know, like kind of thing?
That could be. I don't know how she would have ever been exposed.
The dreaming about it.
Well, and that's the weird thing, too. Because that's, again, to my knowledge, that's the only time she had ever been out there. This was like 20 years ago. I mean, I have recurring dreams a lot.
Yeah.
But none of them are...
Mine are usually not about a place.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is true or not, but I've read that you can't imagine a face you've never seen.
Right, right.
So, and I'm not saying that's what she remembers about it, the little girl or whatever, but, and I guess you could imagine places you've never been to, but it would seem weird that she would be like, oh no, I've been here before.
That level of detail, though, my mom is, you know, she didn't study, you know, 18th century architecture.
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that she was able to describe that cellar to me is kind of the creepier thing.
Yes.
Not like, oh, I remember this. Oh, wait, no.
Then we can almost prove that she's never actually been there before that point.
Yes.
Yeah. That is. No, I think so.
And the 23rd was also the day that Pluto entered Aquarius. Which the last time that happened was in the 20-year period between 1778 and 1798. So what happened during those years?
Nothing we talk about all day.
I was going to say, I think we nailed it after 81. Yeah. There was nothing else.
Pluto Sorry. Can do whatever it wants.
So Pluto is the planet, yes, planet, because...
Celestial body.
Yeah. We don't want to downgrade Pluto.
No, I love him.
Pluto is a planet that represents destruction, death, and rebirth. And so it represents, like, things getting taken down, torn apart. Revolution, if you will.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And Aquarius is the last air sign in the zodiac. So air signs represent intelligence. You know, things that are around mind and human achievement and that type of thing. So... that being the last air sign means that it's like the ultimate human achievement. So when you get to that point, like, you know, when you're in Gemini, it's like, it's all about yourself and learning for yourself. But once you get to Aquarius, it's about like humanity as a whole intellectually achieving things. So the planet of death and destruction entering this house means that some kind of revolution is going to happen in the next 20 years, some kind of like globally significant or at least community-wise significant events are going to take place, and you know, everything's ripe for it. So that happened this week. At the same time, all these synchronicities were happening. Gretchen's birthday, which is a big deal.
Oh yeah.
Solar flares.
It's a pretty big deal.
It's Aquarius.
It was a busy week.
Yeah. Did I not say that?
No, I just said that. Also.
Oh.
Pluto.
The water bearer?
Yeah. That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
That's interesting that it's called the water bearer because it's bringing this new knowledge
of water.
Mm-hmm.
To
so it
us
is an
to extinguish the fires.
But it's associated with water, yeah.
There is a thought, and I hold to this thought quite a bit because as much as our controllers, for lack of a better word, are trying to stir things up with their wars and everything else, I think there's more of a, I think we're already past the tipping point because, I mean, just look at what's on TV now. You know, Shatner, not right now, I just mean in general.
Like it was a baseball game.
Mortal Kombat.
11? There have been 11 Mortal Kombats now?
I think there's
more.
We're
only halfway there.
But anyway, Shatner's new show, The Unexplained, all the alien stuff that's on television, a whole channels dedicated to metaphysical thought, the amount of podcasts that are out there about this type of thing now.
This is the best one, though.
Mainstream.
And the most modest.
Mainstream very much embracing these things. I mean, the Navy releasing UFO footage during the pandemic. I mean, that's out there. It's there it is. And no one really lost their mind because everyone, the global collective consciousness is kind of like, oh yeah, okay.
That tracks.
So the revolution, I think, will be more of a revolution of ideas, or like when I talk about my own form of protest is just to disengage with things as opposed to fighting a thing. So if the collective consciousness just decides that we're done with the establishment nonsense and we just withdraw from it, we are now above it mentally and collectively, that we're doing things with our own community, with our own families, with our own hobbies, and I'm not worried about whatever the news is telling me is going on out there. Now, that being said, I would also think that if time is the way it is now, of you know, the veil being so thin and things, it's like things move so much faster than they used to, and with all the planetary alignments, the other side is going to take their opportunities as well to take advantage of this. So whereas the good people, more awake people, are using this as a time to expand their own knowledge, the other side is going to try everything they can to keep that from happening, I would imagine. So it's probably why we're seeing more of the invented wars and the different pandemics that are happening. I mean, every day I look, there's some new scare tactic out there. Now there's a fungus in South Carolina that's going to kill everybody.
It's here now.
Oh, it's here now.
It is.
Great.
Yes.
The monkeypox. Yeah. Remember they tried to do something with that, and
what
now that's gone.
That?
It just, people didn't care. That's what I'm saying. Like, it was no one engaged with it, so it went off. It's just, you know, just like a bad Netflix show not getting picked up because no one watched it. I think that's how the revolution will be. We're not going to pay attention to the nonsense anymore, and it'll just stop. I think Hunter Thompson called them the old and the evil. Those that still run the world, eventually they'll die, and they'll be gone. I don't know where that just went off.
I think you've got two or three podcasts in here.
Yeah, I got up on my high horse for a minute. And had to get up on my, what do you call it?
You've been,
milk crate?
Been on your
soapbox?
Heart. You gotta let it. Gotta let it.
Milk crate. Milk crate. Now I'm just gonna get up on my milk crate for 1 second.
Because when you can't afford a soapbox, you get the milk crate out.
If you guys could hold it stable for me, so it doesn't fall.
I'm glad you all have so much fun at my expense.
Oh, whatever.
I just
milk
said
crate
to say what was
on
your heart.
You did, and.
Yeah. And nobody...
And they just spoke right over you.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
So then I started giggling too, because I don't like to be left out.
So we've received some feedback since our last episode. People have been reaching out to the email address to share with us some of their thoughts and unexplained experiences. If you would like to do the same, please send us an email to windowlightpodcast@protonmail.com, and we will respond to you as soon as possible. Again, that's windowlightpodcast@protonmail.com, and we will be back next week. Or will we? I'm going to be out of town.